WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Chase Belaine with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. There is no DJ computer in the station
there
tonight.
There is not. Like, you guys think we're off the rails a lot of the time. This is going to be fun. Man.
This is bad. Okay.
We could just screw around and play music all night.
No, there's too much stuff going on that we got to talk about. So, this is why I keep the smartphone handy.
Clever man.
It's going to be a little tricky reading the stories off of this thing tonight, but we will make do.
Especially because you're such an old man.
We will find a way to get through this. All right, you know what I don't need is that kind of commentary from my co-host.
I think that's exactly what you need, Dee. Break up the tension. The main computer's not working.
I am already
Let's just laugh at it instead of being upset about it.
I am already having a miserable week. The car started making
You're having a miserable week. I quit smoking 5 days ago.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about your problems, all right?
Evidently.
So let's start with that. Because what you're doing is good. See, you're having a miserable week, but the end result
is going to be positive. By the way, your wife wants me to convince you to quit smoking as well. I was like, you think I have any control over what Derek does?
Yeah.
It was enough to like get him to accept that I'm quitting smoking.
Don't talk to my wife. That's good advice.
Oh, no. She hit me up on Facebook.
Yeah. Just don't talk to my wife.
But Molly's the nicest person to talk to. Molly, I oppose this declaration made about
actually
your husband,
look
listening.
I fully support you talking to her, because if she's talking to someone else, she's not talking to me. And I could use the peace and quiet.
Such a romantic. So
my car starts making grinding noises over the weekend, and I'm like, all right, that's the brakes. I'm not thoroughly too worried about this. Get it. My mechanic is like, Monday, he's like, I'll take it. And I'm like, oh my god, that's great. So I take the car into him expecting a phone call on Tuesday, your car is ready, you know, let's go. I got a phone call on Tuesday. Your brakes are fixed. Did you know you have a massive oil leak?
Oh, no.
No, but I did notice those drops in the driveway that I thought were brake fluid.
Oh, no.
So I got a blown seal on a solenoid on my engine, so I didn't get the car back until 5:30 tonight. The iPod is in the car, so I haven't been able to put together a playlist for this week.
Oh, so basically this is like this evening is your technological nightmare,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
And now I come in and
did we mention it's 87 degrees out at 7 o'clock at night?
For whatever reason, the DJ computer has decided to go down. And for those who don't know,
that's what controls everything.
That's what controls, I can still run everything.
Like, yeah, well, that's what controls like your end of the operation. Like the board still works, but all of the things that we use whenever we do news clips and basically Derek's computer is that computer.
Yeah.
So if tonight goes a bit off the rails, our dear beloved listeners, I mean, it's going to be fun. I'm not going to lie to you, but it's definitely going to happen. Like all of Derek's technology is ruined. I quit smoking 5 days ago. It's going to be an interesting evening here at The Big Picture.
Yeah. So, but there are a lot of very, very big, important things going on. We're not even going to get to everything that I want to talk about tonight.
No, absolutely not.
There's tons of stuff going on. And as usual, we only try and talk about stuff that impacts you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of it right now. There is a heck of a lot of it. So we're going to sally forth and soldier on. And
I just saluted. You guys can't see me. But
do our darndest.
Oh, I did it with the wrong hand. Hang on.
To try and get this, this show through to the end. And maybe before the end of the night, I'll get the DJ computer back.
That would be lovely. But, you know, if you don't, c'est la vie.
If I don't, we've got all the means here to do what we need to do.
We do indeed.
Chase Belaine, what do we got going on?
Well, this is of great interest. This is something I've been watching for over a year now with my homies down on the South Shore. So there is this is according to the Patriot Ledger, but there has been a state audit that found that the energy giant Enbridge did not comply with hazardous waste cleanup regulations.
Did they just dump it in the harbor like everyone else does?
Pretty much.
Ugh, that's never good luck.
But they, with that in mind, they do not believe the notice will affect the viability of a proposed natural gas compressor station, which for those of you who live not even in the South Shore, but just off of 3A, it's been all up and down 3A, basically all up and down the coast of Boston, trying to stop them from putting this in for for the question of whether or not it's going to affect both the air and the water quality. Because, you know, the city of Boston has tried really hard, just not just Boston Harbor, but Massachusetts Bay in general, to try to clean things up, to try to make it so that it isn't even a question that we don't do something to harm this. But basically, the people who conducted the audit, which is work that Weymouth officials, who obviously opposed the project, this is going to be right by the Four River Bridge, which connects Quincy to Weymouth. They said that even though they improperly listed the Four River site as historic fill, which carries less than stringent cleanup requirements, they did say that it will take more tests before you say, oh, like there's concentrations of metals, dissolved liquid pollutants, arsenic, and other things in the soil. But according to this company, they've been using this site for coal storage. There was an auto repair shop and steel manufacturing. So it's really a matter of, it also once had an 11 million gallon fuel oil tank.
Yeah.
And a 6,000 gallon fuel additive tank. And so these were removed in 2004, 2005, but all the people at Enbridge are just saying, like, we're not doing anything worse than what has already been done to this land. And if, like I said, if you drive up and down, if you've driven up and down 3A between Quincy and probably Cohasset, maybe even Boston and Cohasset, or like Dorchester and Cohasset, you'll see people with signs saying, stop the compressor tank. There are a lot of people opposed to this project, and this is kind of continuing the stalemate of, okay, well, yeah, this is bad for the environment. Like, it basically, Enbridge's argument is, yeah, this might be bad for the environment, but you guys already messed with the environment here anyway, so who cares? Like, that's the main argument in this case. And this, yeah. Obviously, I live in that area, so it means more to me, but it's also, if you think about the flow of the water, I mean, this ultimately is going to affect people in Revere, people in Manchester by the Sea, people in Newburyport. Like, this is going to affect the greater Massachusetts coastline. And again, they it's kind of a stalemate. That's the only way to put it.
Well, if they promise that they're not going to throw any more waste into the harbor.
Well, that's the thing, is that it's not even the difference being that, because it's, for those of you who don't know what Massachusetts Bay is shaped like, it's a series of harbors. Like, it almost looks like if a four-leaf clover had like nine leaves. Like, it just keeps being like Peninsula Harbor. And so it kind of just makes these little rings. But ultimately, all of it is then encapsulated by Cape Cod. So theoretically, if you're doing something to one of the harbors, which in this case would be technically Hingham Harbor, because that is the one between Howe's Neck and Hull, Howe's Neck and Quincy and Hull, if you do something to one of them, you're doing something to all of them, just because of the way the current flows. But That's what bothers me about this situation, is that Enbridge is basically saying, well, it's already screwed. Why don't we just screw it more?
Yeah.
Like, that's, and I mean, and because it's not technically Boston Harbor, it's the, like, it's Weymouth people fighting this. It's not Marty Walsh fighting this.
Right.
Like, it's not, it isn't people who have a lot of clout, if you will.
Yeah, nobody's going to listen to what anyone down there has to say.
Yeah, like Weymouth is notorious. Don't get me wrong. Weymouth, I love you in many ways, but like the rest of Boston kind of thinks you're a joke.
Yeah.
And because of that, like
there are a bunch of rich people who live in a floodplain. And every time we get a blizzard blows through here, Weymouth is like, oh my God, our houses are disappearing. Quit living on the floodplain.
Yeah.
I know it's nice to live on the ocean, but quit living on the floodplain.
Well, that's, I was going to say, I mean, and even, like I said, I drive up and down 3A every day, and I see these houses that I'm just like, why are you guys, like, the water is literally flowing into your house.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's, like I said, it's not enough people think about I don't want to say the globality of it, because obviously Massachusetts Bay is not a global thing, but it's still thinking about just the impact beyond the immediate community.
Yeah.
Thinking about what can happen. Because, I mean, the gas compressor tank, I think about what happened with BP in Florida, and obviously that was on a larger scale, but it could still be something. When I was a kid and I grew up going to Wollaston Beach, there'd be flags. The white flag meant you could swim in that beach that day. The red flag meant that you could not, based on the pollutant content right. that someone took this morning.
Yeah.
Or that morning, rather. And I would just never swim either way, because I was like, I'm not... Oh, it was fine yesterday, and it's yeah. terrible today, and yeah. now it's fine tomorrow. Yeah. Like,
it's like
what?
one thousandth of a percent below the danger level. Yeah, yeah. It's good. Everybody hop
oh, yeah.
in.
Yeah. No cancer here at all.
Yeah.
But
probably don't want to be swimming in that.
But that's, well, that's the thing, though, is that I was so happy when they, like, redid Wollaston Beach. Like, they made this nice boardwalk. They fixed everything up. They had projects to clean up the beach. They had projects to clean up the harbor. And it made me really happy that they got rid of that flag program for the next generation of Quincy
yeah.
kids. Or, as the case may be, Dorchester kids who go from Dorchester to swim in Quincy.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go back to that. I mean, things are already so screwed in so many ways environmentally. It seems greedy and unnecessary.
Tell the wind people it's going to interfere with their water shuttle and you will get some action. Because the wind people aren't going to let anything interfere with your water shuttles.
So basically, talk to another devil to take the devil down.
But they're going to be like, no. We're in the river. We don't care about
but that. But we can change the name of the river to the Wind River, right?
You don't get much more local than this story. Medford. Stone's throw from where we are right now.
We could walk there right now. Or we're in Medford.
A design to slow drivers down is taking off in Medford. Two Medford elementary school students came up with the idea for a 3D crosswalk. It was such a good idea that the city unveiled its second one Monday. Isa and Eric, students at Brooks Elementary School, came up with the idea when Eric's younger brother was nearly hit by a car near the school. The crosswalk is an illusion that appears to pop up as you drive closer to it, designed to make sure drivers slow down. Quote, it was the kind of like a dream come true, because we thought at first it wouldn't happen, but that it had happened, and it was like really amazing, Isa told WBZ-TV Monday. You can tell it's a kid saying that. We were looking for something that wasn't really a speed bump, because we had learned that they weren't eco-friendly. What's not eco-friendly about the speed bump? Will someone explain that to me?
Or at least, how is that less eco-friendly than... than something powered by electricity in 24 hours.
It's a speed bump. It's a speed bump. How is that not eco-friendly?
People are so stupid.
Is everyone slowing down for the speed bump, creating more carbon greenhouse gases? People are crazy. Whoever taught this kid needs to be fired. Because we had learned that they weren't eco-friendly, that's the speed bump, and that they also costed a lot of money. They didn't even correct. I love it when they do that. Eric and Isa were members of Medford's Center for Citizenship and Social Responsibility Group. Mayor Stephanie Burke met with the students about their idea and helped them get approval from the Medford Traffic Commission. They presented these pictures and plans with websites showing me 3D sidewalks that were in Iceland and around the world, and it was such a cool idea that I was like, let's think about this and see if we can pull it off, said Burke. Local artist Nate Swain painted the designs onto the road to make the children's idea a reality. Now, it actually doesn't cost anything more than paint and labor. Because what they've done is they've painted elements around the white part of the crosswalk that makes it look like blocks rising up out of the street.
Yeah.
And as you drive toward it, you get this
like feeling of like, I should totally stop.
It's a trompe l'oeil, or trompe l'oeil, as the art world likes to call it.
I hate that that's the word.
Yeah. But that, I mean, this is a great no cost solution. Everybody's going to ignore it once they get used to it. But it's a great little, you know, it will probably make people unfamiliar with the neighborhood slow down. And those are the ones that you probably want to slow down.
That's fair.
Because the parents zipping through this neighborhood ought to know better. Like, there is a school there. Why are you doing 70? That's because I have to get home.
Well, at the same time, I mean, my parents always very vehemently, it's and I'm almost never on the side of this subject, my parents very vehemently explained to me, like, you're crossing the street, you look both ways twice.
Yeah.
You listen for everything. Only cross at a crosswalk. Like, sure, great little kid. I'm glad you invented this. But at the same time, it shouldn't be a necessary invention. It shouldn't be something that just has to...
Well, people, like, shouldn't be stupid, but we're not going to do anything about that.
But that's what I'm saying. Is instead, like, that's the thing is, instead of doing things about people being stupid, what we do is just find solutions for their stupidity.
Stupid is a part of the human condition. I mean, there's, you know...
But it's... I mean, Derek, you of all people can, and I'm not trying to be a cynic, but you of all people can agree, the stupid's gotten a lot worse, and we're engaging it.
I'll second that.
Like, it's, I mean, well, especially with the advent of, and it's, I know I've spoken about this on the show before, but with the advent of social media and of that, just that anyone can be famous. I mean, I thought of my boyfriend's son had oral surgery the other day and was on all these drugs, and I was like, oh my God, that makes me think of David After Dentist. David After Dentist came out while I was in college over a decade ago, and I still think about that. And it's like the stupidest thing ever. And I mean that in the colloquial sense. I'm not calling people actually stupid, but...
You can do that. People are actually stupid.
But I know, I always get, you know, it can come off as offensive instead of just the best word for the job. But it's like, instead of discouraging this behavior, as used to be the case... Back in the good old days, God, I sound 70. It's almost like we're engaging this. It's like, okay, instead of trying to get people to be less stupid, let's just find ways to make it easier for the stupid people. Like, that is not the direction that we should be going. That is not, that should not be the goal here.
No, but you have to address yourself to the fact that sooner or later, you've got to idiot-proof the world around you, because no matter what you do, the idiots are going to be there.
That's what I do every day, by telling people that they're idiots.
And they're going to do idiot things.
Ay, ay, ay.
Guess what I have back?
What do you have back?
I have back the...
The monitor?
Yes, the monitor seems to be...
Dun, 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 dun.
What I don't have is an internet connection, and that is...
I actually do not at the moment either.
Okay, so...
So that might be...
That's fun.
Not on our... I'm using someone who lives in a house nearby. No, I'm not. I'm not doing that. It's not a thing.
No, do that.
No, I am. By the way, set up a password, you dummy. So this is actually from up here. Authorities say the husband of a woman found dead in her car last week has been charged with murder. Middlesex District Attorney Marion Ryan announced this afternoon that 50-year-old Hong Yeon-sun of Lexington was arrested in connection with the murder of his wife, Sheng Kai. Kai's body was located around 12:30 a.m. on May 30th in the driver's seat of her white Honda CR-V parked on the side of Worthen Road in Lexington, close to Lexington High School. Police were called to the area after receiving a 911 call from several of her friends who'd been searching for her, and then ended up finding her unresponsive in the vehicle. She was pronounced dead at the scene, and Ryan said investigators initially observed some suspicious trauma. An autopsy was conducted, and the medical examiner ruled her death a homicide by mechanical asphyxiation. Yikes. She had been last seen by her husband and friends the night before. This past Tuesday, her friends became concerned after she missed two scheduled appointments. Investigators say they subsequently learned that Kai and her husband were going through a divorce. And then when she told her friends and her attorney about a history of verbal and physical abuse and controlling behavior, she also told her friends that she had concerns about her safety. They heard about a physical altercation between Kai and Soon on May 28th. So this is like a week ago. And observe injuries on both Kai and Soon consistent with a violent struggle. The district attorney said their investigation suggests that after a struggle in their home, Kai's body was staged and left in her vehicle in an attempt to mislead law enforcement.
Yeah, there's a really weird aspect of this, which is the fact that the husband is not in jail right now. One of the details that I read about this, which I found fascinating, is that the husband, drove the car that his wife was murdered in home. Now, think about this. If your spouse has just been murdered, are you going to hop in the car and drive it home?
No, you're going to the police immediately.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm going to... Well, no, this is after the police released the car. And
I see what you're saying. So after the police released the car, he drove it. Yeah, no, you're going to... You don't want that if you care.
Yeah.
So people are so gross.
And the guy's covered in bruises, and it's like, something is not right with this. What is this guy really doing here?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that, like, I mean, I hate that I get domestic violence, and I don't want to be married to my wife anymore, etc. stories jumbled in my brain. Like, I forget which one. Like, I was at my therapist's office yesterday, and he always says People magazine. So what I do is I just start reading like a human interest article, and then I pick up where I left off each week while I'm waiting for my appointment.
Yeah.
And one of them was about a guy who killed his wife of, I think they've been married for like 7 years, and I started reading it, be like, oh, I already read this story before. And then I realized it was a completely different, while completely similar to a story I'd read like a month ago.
Yeah.
And then I realized that was also completely different, but completely similar to a story I'd read 3 months before that. And it's...
Sometimes it's just some idiot getting a date wrong on the internet.
You can just... Oh, no. But I'm saying like everything was similar, but then there were things that it made me...
Yeah.
Like the one I read a month ago... The guy also killed their two children.
Yeah, people keep doing the same dumb things over and over again.
This one, like, the daughter was in the custody of the grandparents. So I was like, okay, that's what made me say, okay, this isn't the same story, even though it's the exact same thing, where it's just like a young couple. You know, like, you can get divorced. My parents did it, and they're both now living pretty awesome lives without having murdered either of each other.
What town, like, was this in?
There was the one that I read the other day.
This one.
Oh, this was in Lexington.
Yeah, which is not a town where that...
Yeah, that's the other thing. Lexington is like a very nice, very not neighborhoody, but you know what I mean? Like, it's a very close-knit community. I've been there, I've done shows there before, and it's a warm place. It's not somewhere where you would expect to hear a story like this. Particularly, I mean... To be able to, like you said, to be able to drive the car afterwards. And he probably went straight to the dealer, to a used car dealer, and sold it. Like, it's gross.
Yeah, but it's a rich town. So it's not like...
That's what I mean. It's not like somewhere where it's like, oh, someone got found dead in their car on the side of the road. This is normal. Like, this is not a common thing to happen in Lexington. Lexington is where you go when you don't, like, where you move when you don't want things like that to happen.
Yeah. So the thing that I'm wondering is, what's up with the Lexington police that they don't have the husband in custody immediately? I guess they figure he's not going to go anywhere.
Well, he is now. But
is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
He got charged with murder yesterday.
Okay. Because they let him go home.
Oh, no. That's the thing.
They let
him
drive the murder vehicle home.
Well, that, like you just said, it's the sort of thing where, like, you think about... When you think about Lexington, you don't think about something like this happening. This sounds like she went on a spree in Everett or something, and someone dropped her body and her car off in Lexington. Like, that would be the first thing that you would think. Not her husband killed her and staged this crime scene. Like, that is not the conclusion you jump to in Lexington. Maybe it's the conclusion you jump to in Brockton or in Dorchester, but not in Lexington.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's like, we were talking last week about the kid that was robbing all the convenience stores, and... getting away on the same electric bicycle every single time.
Oh, yeah, and ended up getting caught because he tripped over the curb, which is hilarious.
And the kid's from Sharon. And I could picture the kid sitting there being like, they'll never suspect me. I'm from Sharon. And it's like, there's no kid in Sharon that needs to steal. There is no kid in Sharon that needs to steal.
Oh, no. Well, it's just like...
The kid's stealing for the kick of it.
Yeah. Well, it's just like there was this girl who was from... I think she was from Cohasset when I was in high school, because I went to high school in, you know, the ritzy part of the South Shore.
Yes.
Girl from Cohasset lived on Jerusalem Road, which for those of you who don't know is like for perhaps the schmanciest street on the South Shore. It's just where mansions are on the side of a cliff. It's amazing. But she was like stealing people's coats from their lockers, stealing people's lunch money from their lockers, like just stealing things that, like she'd steal stuff from Claire's accessories, which, I mean, a bracelet there cost $5 at the time.
Yeah, just do it for the kids.
And it was just because she felt like it. Like, that was literally it. And that's, I mean, that's the name of the game with people like this. Well, it's just like, I call it Leopold and Loeb syndrome, where it's like, I'm just a bored rich kid, and I feel like I can get away with anything, even murder. For those of you who don't know who Leopold and Loeb are, look it up. It's an incredibly interesting story about two rich kids, very smart rich kids in Chicago in, I think, the 20s. Is that the 20s? Somewhere back in the day. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Oh, boy. I got so much stuff that I could talk about. no, seriously. I mean, there's a lot of big stuff that happened over the last few days. All right, we're going to start with this. If you were online on Sunday afternoon, you may have experienced some difficulty. Pokemon Go went down.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is a big deal because people were trying to do raid battles when it went down. It went down around 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Oh my God, this is the lamest thing you've ever said to me, and you've said some lame things.
YouTube went down.
Okay, that's...
Yeah. Now...
YouTube is YouTube. Pokemon Go is like a... YouTube is... Everyone likes has something they like on YouTube. Pokemon Go is a very specific brand of human being.
Now that it's not this, you know, this game that millions of
Nerd
people love...
is the brand.
But
Nerd.
It's something that you enjoy, it's okay. All right.
No, something that everyone enjoys, not just...
So, during the outage, a lot of people were freaked out. And this affected, basically, Google's cloud web server went down. It was gone. It wasn't
That's
there. Wasn't
why.
Doing anything.
Oh, do you know what's weird? I was looking at it on Sunday, and I didn't look at the news. I had a busy day on Sunday, but all I could think was that. Was just like, why is, I couldn't get any of my Google Drive. I couldn't, any of that.
Yeah, their entire.
See, so that's more important.
Cloud server went down. And this has led to a conspiracy theory that the government pressed the internet kill switch. No, that didn't happen. I don't think that.
I didn't say they literally made a facetious episode of South Park about that.
But if you think you had a bad day, imagine this from Fast Company: that major Google outage meant some Nest users couldn't unlock doors or use the AC. If you're a Google user, you probably noticed some trouble last night when trying to access Google-owned services.
Oh, my God.
Last night, Google... This was written on Monday, by the way. Last night, Google reported several issues with its cloud platform, which made several Google sites slow or inoperable. Because of this, many of Google's sites and services, including Gmail, G Suite, and YouTube, were slow or completely down for users in the U.S. and Europe. However... the Google Cloud outage also affected third-party apps and services that use Google Cloud Space for hosting. Affected third-party apps and services include Discord, Snapchat, and even Apple's iCloud services. But an especially annoying side effect of Google Cloud's downtime was that Nest-branded smart home products for some users just failed to work. According to reports from Twitter, many people were unable to use their Nest thermostats, Nest smart locks, and Nest cameras during the downtime. This essentially meant that because of a cloud storage outage, people were prevented from getting inside their homes, using their AC, and monitoring their babies.
Oh my God.
Danny on Twitter says, "So we finally get AC, right? Great. Google is down. We have a Nest thermostat. Nest runs on Google. Can't turn on AC because app is down. Neat." Chris Weiss says, it's very inconvenient when the system is down, especially if you use Nest cameras for baby monitors. Is the outage expected to end soon? Sometimes I wish I just got simple baby monitors instead of paying a premium price and a monthly fee for an inconsistent service. Zainab Tufekci says, Google Cloud is down so people can't turn on their AC or get open their smart locks to let people into the house.
This is why, like...
Folks.
I mean...
Folks. Just stop. Stop buying the smart devices that go down when there's no internet. For 2,000 years... of our civilization, we have had door locks that work, whether the power is on or off, whether the internet is on or off. You're going to throw all that out and pay a monthly fee to operate a door lock, which is a free service built into your house when you buy it, so that you can have some more smart tech on your app or on your smartphone. Oh, it's app-controlled. I can see who's coming to the door. Yeah, guess what happens when the internet goes down? You can't leave your house, and you can't let anyone in because the door locks don't work.
That's what I was actually just talking to my boyfriend about this the other night. His aunt was deciding between two different condos. One of them she decided was too big. It was slightly more expensive, but... some of the stuff it had, she was like, I'll just become an invalid. Like, it had, you could legitimately turn on, so you could set a timer so that all of the heat came from the floor. So you could set a timer, say you wake up at 6 a.m. every morning. You could set a timer so that the heat in the floor in the bathroom turns on at 5:55.
Nice, get a nice warm bathroom floor.
So that you get a warm tile floor. And then the shower will turn on at 5:58 so that the water is heated up by the time you're going in to use the shower, which is amazing. But you get used to that and then something like this happens.
Yeah. And you can't turn the shower on at all.
Yeah. And that's why I think, I mean, I was, me and my sister the other night, a couple weeks ago, were having a conversation about like things that are, difficult in our lives right now, and just kept saying hashtag first world problems.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God, you mean the automated thing that controls everything in my life isn't working? What am I supposed to do now? I don't know what everyone has done since forever before that sort of technology existed and what everyone else is doing that can't afford it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, Alexa can't play Taylor Swift right now. Boo freaking who.
Yeah. Come on over. You're going to have to climb through the window because my Nest lock isn't working. Really? You live in a house that you can't enter or leave when the internet goes down. You live in a house with no temperature control when the internet goes down.
Yeah, like that's not...
And you paid more to have this and you pay a monthly fee to keep it operating. How dumb are you? This is dumb. This is just dumb. And I look at this stuff, and it's attractive. You look at it, and you're like, ooh, this is, you know, it's the house of tomorrow. It does everything. All the lights turn on automatically, and all the lights turn off automatically. But you know what? There are ways to do all of those things without connecting them to the internet. See, the Internet of Things is just a way for everything in your home to stop functioning when the internet goes down, which it does, on a pretty regular basis. So if you're perfectly willing to live trapped in your home like a cave person with no control over anything whatsoever...
You really can't complain.
Then by all means, go out and get all the smart stuff. If you're not, no, don't waste the money. And honestly, if you're going to charge me a monthly fee to run my air conditioning or to run the door lock on the front of my house, you can go kick rocks. Because I don't have money to spend on... a door lock. Beyond the cost of the door lock. So stupid. I have no sympathy for these people. None. You're an idiot. You got duped by marketing. Look at this. It's the house of tomorrow. No, it's not. It is a bad semi-functional product. It doesn't work. It doesn't have any backups. It doesn't have any fail safes. If the internet goes down, you're cooked. And you are paying a monthly fee for the privilege of being cooked several times a year.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Oh, yeah, you're a millennial.
No, my sister is...
They're the ones who are buying this crap.
No, my sister's Generation X, and, like, her entire apartment is ruled by Alexa, and then by Sonos, and then by something else. When I babysat for them, I downloaded all of the things to make sure I could turn the freaking lights off.
Sonos. Hue is bad because that won't work if the internet goes down. Sonos.
Oh, that's the thing. I sat there. It wasn't working because the internet was down for just like a second. I just had to restart it. But I was trying to put my nieces to sleep. And the only way to turn off the lights in their room is physically just to use that app.
That's ridiculous.
And I was just sitting there like, or no, that's with Hue. I'm sorry. That was with Hue.
Yeah.
And it went down for a moment. And I was just like, I was like, ladies, close your eyes like real tight. This is the only thing I can think about Sonos, to tell you to do.
I will keep Sonos apart from the rest of this because Sonos is an audio system. And Sonos gives you the ability to have a single central audio system that plays throughout your home. I grew up in a house that had the analog version of this, and it's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's awesome. And it's at the same time, you're just sitting there like, If the internet goes down, I'm screwed.
Back in my bachelor days, I had speakers running to every room in my apartment, including the bathroom, so that I could just throw stuff on the CD player.
I was going to say, I could be like Taylor Swift, Girls Room. They really like Taylor Swift. Yeah. It's really annoying.
I could just throw something on the CD player and have it play throughout my apartment, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Of course, I had wires going all over the place. So I like Sonos, because it's not... The stereo system is not a critical component of your life. If the stereo system isn't working, you can at least get in and out of the house and cool the air if you need to.
Yeah, it's not a matter of like, I am stuck here.
Yeah. It's like, I'm stuck in a house with no air conditioning because Google is down.
Well, the funny thing is that, speaking of my sister's apartment, I mean, again...
You're an idiot.
It's really cool, but, for example, the their... keys are not keys. They're like similar to like the keys to my father's car, where you get into the car by just kind of holding a little key card next to it.
Yeah, it's got an RFID chip in it.
But I always wonder, what if every bit of electricity goes out?
Yeah. Well, that would probably work because the battery in the car will keep it going.
No, but I'm saying this is the key to her apartment.
Oh.
Like the key to get into her apartment.
Not getting in.
Yeah.
Hope you got an axe.
And it's ironclad, trust me. Like, even if you wave it the wrong way, it's just like, nope. And then double locks and makes you do it two more times. Yeah,
hope you got an axe, because that's the only way you're getting in.
Ay, ay, ay. Sometimes I'm glad I'm poor. no, that's not true. I hate being poor. This is a interesting tidbit. I knew this was going to come. I just wasn't sure where. And it's very apropos per the last week of my life. Tobacco products will soon be a rarity in most stores in Beverly Hills, California. The Beverly Hills City Council last night unanimously approved an ordinance prohibiting the sale of most tobacco products. This crackdown is the first, like I said, I've been waiting for a place to do this. I just didn't know who would be the one. But this is the first of its kind in the United States, according to the National Association of Tobacco Outlets. For them, under the ordinance, they include in the basically the column of tobacco products cigarettes, cigars, dissolvable products, electronic cigarettes, chewing tobacco, and water pipes.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't take my vape pen away from me.
Apparently they can.
What? That's un-American.
Luckily, they are wedged by two places who have not done this. The ban is expected to go into effect January 1st, 2021. And follows public input and recommendations from the city's Health and Safety Commission. And this is according to a official May 7th City Council statement.
Listen, I don't know why it hasn't been done nationwide already. So just ban tobacco. Just do it.
But it's there'll be too much of a...
When are the weed shops opening in Beverly Hills, by the way?
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
They're not going to have weed shops?
I think they're all just going to have to go to the Valley or Hollywood.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, it's weird because I come in at a very weird stance in this, especially as somebody who, within the last week, has quit smoking. 5 days, y'all, get it. Bubbles help for anyone who's trying to quit smoking. Blowing bubbles, not like blowing like physical, not chewing gum helps too, but I mean like the bubbles with the wand and anyway.
You just need something to do with your mouth.
Yeah, well, it's the inhale-exhale thing. It's a similar process, and you produce something with the exhale just like you would if you were smoking a cigarette. It's like both psychological and physical in the ways that it helps. I just put a bottle of bubbles like where my ashtray used to be, because you also have to go outside to do it, so you can still do the ritual of like, I'm going outside.
You can blow bubbles indoors.
You're not supposed to, though, especially when your mom's couch is from Ethan Allen.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you can't blow bubbles indoors. Yeah, so, I can blow bubbles indoors
all
I want.
So you, in the general sense, can blow bubbles all you want, but I cannot.
Are you blowing bubbles on the Ethan Allen couch again? Bad shit.
How dare you? But I come from a unique stance on this because... Well, obviously, I mean, there's a reason that I decided, or there's several reasons I decided to quit smoking, but I also am of the opinion that, you know, of the people, for the people, by the people, I always do that in the wrong order.
Look, I'm a pro-liberty kind of guy. I say, if you want to kill yourself with cigarettes, by all means, go ahead and do it. But at the same time, If you were to go out and ban cigarettes tomorrow, I don't really see an underground cigarette market popping up. I think everybody who's smoking cigarettes is going to switch to weed.
But this is, which I mean, is actually unhelpful in me quitting smoking, to be honest with you.
Now, here's something interesting, because as we're talking about this, a Chantix ad has popped up on the screen.
Of course it has.
And I don't think there's any sort of audio device on this computer that's listening to us right now, but there is a Chantix ad showing up. How do they even know it's me?
Well, what I was going to say, though, is that, like, it's a thing for me where it's like, I don't think anyone should be stopped from... I mean, I do things that are bad for me all the time.
Yeah.
And cigarettes was one of them, and now it's not. I mean, I drank a Diet Coke on the way here. That can give me cancer, too. But it's weird to think about this in terms of, because I fought a big platform I've taken in terms of fighting for the legalization of marijuana, was comparing it to alcohol and saying, is this truly a bigger evil than something that is legal but regulated? And
right.
And the reason I feel strange about it is because, again, it's not like anyone's forcing anything down your throat. First of all, everyone who buys a pack of cigarettes is buying it with their money and doing it of their own volition, just like anyone who buys a six pack of beer is doing the same thing. Wrong one, but that was a good shot.
Yeah, I wanted to go in the landfill.
He just said he wanted his plastic bottle to go in the landfill.
I hate this planet.
I know you do, my dear. But it's the same sort of thought where it's like, I don't want to smoke cigarettes anymore. I have like, I wrote out like 15 reasons why I don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
That being said, I don't think it's my or anyone else's place to tell anyone that they can't.
Exactly. I mean, it's. I feel that way about it, but at the same time.
And well, my other point, though, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but my other point is the very real fact that a big chunk of our country's economy was founded on tobacco.
Yeah.
And there is a big chunk of our country right now whose livelihood depends upon that.
Yeah, but it's getting smaller.
It's getting smaller, but it's still very much there.
And it's still there, but it's gotten smaller to the point where if you were to slice that off, yeah, you're going to have a few hundred thousand people who are deeply unhappy. But it's not the 1950s where it's going to be, you're going to have a few million people who are deeply unhappy.
Yeah, that's true. But it's a matter of, like, again, the people who are going to be unhappy are twofold, which is it's the people who are smokers and the people who, like, even though it's 2019, there are still, and I'm not defending them, but at the same time, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here, where for generations and generations, their entire family's livelihood, this is all they know.
Right.
Like, their entire family's livelihood, their children's livelihood, their grandchildren's livelihood depends upon this industry. And to try to just say, no, we're done.
But you know what? There were generations that were minors that aren't minors anymore. There were generations that were typesetters. We don't even do that anymore.
But, well, and again, I know I don't want to get into, like, a deeper topic, but we've talked about before how when I lived in Europe, I had a friend say, like, I don't understand why you're one country. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So,
and I, at the time, said, like, you're absurd. Like, you guys are doing the same thing with the EU. But then for both once I got home and then once I actually, like, drove through a lot of these states, I kind of understood what she was talking about in that it, and especially in this political climate that we're in right now, it becomes even more apparent that it is, we are ideologically different over the course of our nation. And in some ways, that's awesome, but it's become more and more, it's become more and more combative. It's become more and more, like, heads banging.
It is a matter of time before the people of the middle of the country pick up their pitchforks, get on their tractors, and head for the coast to murder everybody.
That's what I'm saying. And I would rather just say, you know what, be your own country, whatever.
And the man bun beta millennials will put up zero resistance to this. They will be the first to die. Because they'll just be like, hey, why can't we be friends? Pitchfork for you. That's what's going to happen. It will be the shortest civil war in world history. And at the end of it, we will be left with reasonable people. And we'll be able to go on. And you might be able to find parking somewhere.
But I would rather...
because all of the Uber and Lyft drivers will be the people who get taken out.
But, like, I would rather it be...
or...
and I know that perhaps this sounds naive, but I would rather it be something amicable where it's like, okay, we're still going to mess with you if you try to have slaves again, but why don't you be a country? We'll be a country?
I don't think anybody's looking for slavery anymore. I mean,
Are you that naive?
Nobody's, outside of the restaurant industry, nobody's looking for slaves anymore.
But no, I'm saying just in terms of like letting the South and the middle part of the country that it resembles the South doing their thing.
The middle part of the country resembles the South a lot less than you realize.
Some of the middle part of the country there's very much resembles.
There's stuff
the South.
Going on in the South that is very particular to the South. That
no,
don't
get me wrong. But I mean, like, it's like the South is like the of it. And then there are some states in the middle part of the country, particularly in the southern parts of those states, that have kind of like a low hum of that.
Well, the difference is probably the middle part of the country is like, we don't like your kind around here, so please keep moving on. And the South is like, we're going to destroy you. Feel free to stay. We're going to destroy you.
But that's my point, is that I hate to say, like, the cheesiest quote in regard to a racial issue ever. But I always think, and something that was completely ineffective, obviously, given what happened in the days following, but I always think of Rodney King just saying, can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
And it's, we can, I mean, it's the way that I feel, and I know that this notion isn't shared by many other people.
No, it is, actually. A surprisingly large number of people.
But it's, I know that this isn't shared by everyone, but I, as long as no one's doing harm to anybody else, I don't care if they think differently than me. I don't care if...
you shouldn't. Not your job.
Yeah, exactly. It's not my job.
It's not your job to police anyone other than yourself.
Other than myself. And that's the thing, is it's like, I always think about... the song is about... ironically, the song is about smoking pot, but it's... I think the notion is spot on for everything, where... do you know the song Burn One Down by Ben Harper?
Yes.
My favorite quote from that song is, "My choice is what I choose to do, and if I'm causing no harm, it shouldn't bother you. Your choice is who you choose to be, and if you're causing no harm, then you're all right with me."
Yep.
And I feel like that's the way that we should be approaching things. And again, why I think that it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if those areas of the South and the rest of us were two different countries.
No, I think we can make the whole thing work.
But only if everyone's willing to. And people are moving further and further and further and further away.
It's not true.
From being
that
willing to.
That is not true.
Are you kidding me?
It's 100% not
true. What has happened over the last 5 years? Think about the various things that have happened that like have happened in Tennessee or happened in Alabama or happened... name any state down there that have happened that it's like you watch the news and you're like, could I ever find some kind of peaceful, tolerant, common ground with this person? Or more importantly, could they ever find one with me because I don't think the way they do? I'm the whitest person I know.
Are those people running government? No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Are those people in charge of anything? No, they're not.
But the thing is, theoretically,
people,
they are.
Those people are on television because those people get you worked up. That's why they were put there. They don't represent any sort of a minority or majority view in this country. They represent a fringe ideology.
But they're yelling the loudest.
I know.
That's the problem, is they're yelling the loudest and making people who maybe have those thoughts a little bit run with them.
Sure.
Because they think that it's okay.
Let me tell you what happened, okay? In response, what you just said is true. Instead of 8 followers, they now have 10. And they're like, hey, our membership is up by 20%. We went from 8 followers to 10. 10 people.
But you think about it, took one person to kill. I hate that this is the example I'm giving, but it's the first one that popped in my head. It took one person to kill, what was it, 58 people at a country music festival when he wasn't even there?
That's a different story.
But it's not.
It is, because we don't know what was going on in that guy's mind.
No. I'm just saying, for example.
And we've got to take a break.
Okay.
We've got to take a break.
WMFO Medford.
We're going to pick this up on the other side, because I have a topic that plays into this as well. So we're not going to walk away from this. We're going to come back to this. But the FCC does have certain requirements.
We love
here,
you, FCC. Thank you for letting us
radio
talk into these ice cream shop shaped things.
There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
The weather is not one of those requirements, but we do like to do it. Tonight, rain coming in later. Lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, rain, thunderstorms.
Fun.
Highs in the low 70s. Lows fall back to about 60 degrees tomorrow night. And then Friday and Saturday, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful seasonal weather. Sunny Friday, high about 70. Lows in the upper 50s Friday night. Saturday, sunny, high in the mid-70s. Lows in the mid-50s Saturday night. Sunday, partly cloudy. Highs in the mid-70s. Lows around 60 on Sunday night. Not a drop of rain in sight for any of those 3 days. Rain returns on Monday. So, you got a nice weekend coming. You got 3 days to get out there, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Get out there, have yourself a good time, and enjoy yourself. 855-915.
Never bad advice.
9636 is the telephone number. I got to dance around this thing here and do this thing.
With the stuff and the junk?
With the stuff and the thing. And when we come back, more on what's going on in America. What America's afraid of is what we're going to talk about right after this here on WMFO Medford.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
The rain.
KMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is the illustrious Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we love hearing from you. So please do it, 855-915-WMFO.
And so before the break, we were starting to get...
I was going to say, we are not done with this topic.
We were starting to get a little bit riled because Shay believes everything she sees on television.
Shay does not believe everything she sees on television. No. You cannot set it up to make me be the bad guy in this situation I have a completely intellectual opinion about it.
Shay believes everything she reads on Facebook and Twitter. And Shay